With a country divided, the republic at risk, and morality being redefined, it's time to gather round the campfire, get back to basics, and spark the revival that this country so desperately needs. This is the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron.
Well, I want to share some things with you tonight that I've been studying this afternoon as I've been making a fire in my backyard. I got a really great fire going today. It's not all the hot, bright burning pine wood, but it's some of these old trees that have fallen down in my backyard, and I finally put a bunch of logs back there, and they've been burning for hours and hours and hours. So it's nice and toasty warm around my fire pit. And I've been having a chance to study some things. I've got this great new book that I've been going through. It's all about biblical revival. You know, there's different kinds of revival. We've talked about this. It's our hope is revival is when God tears open the heavens and comes down. Our hope is not in who governs us or in the laws we make as a nation. Our hope is in the power of God working in the hearts of people. And in the past, we have had in this country historical revivals that are true revivals, and we've had hysterical revivals, which are false revivals or shallow and short-lived revivals. One is laudable and one is laughable. And we want the kind of revival that utterly and permanently transforms men and nations. We don't want our religious engines revved to the point where we just feel good on a Sunday morning or on a hot Sunday afternoon at a revival tent meeting. We want renewed and changed hearts and homes and a nation that begins to reflect the blessings of heaven. And we want that not only for ourselves, but for our children, and we want it for every nation. We want to love God, and we want to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we want to be loved by our neighbors, not looted by our neighbors. And so our country is in a desperate place right now and in need of revival. And so I've been studying this book about real revival and the transformation of nations, and I really can't wait to share that with you. We talked a few nights ago about how the family is God's primary instrument for bringing transformation to the world. It's not the government, although government is important. It's not even the church, although the family of faith has a very significant role in heavenizing the earth. The family is the primary building block of culture on earth. We learned that right from the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and their children and the family being formed. Long before church or government was formed. And we understand from God's word and from history that it is the family that is the primary tool that God uses to extend his kingdom on earth. Yes, on earth. The kingdom of God is not just something that exists out there in heaven somewhere. When we read God's word, we see the picture that God is painting of heaven coming to earth. And that the kingdom of God becomes the kingdom of the earth here when the family of faith exports heaven's principles to the earth that we live in, right? We're not just to be hearers of these great things when we hear a sermon or a homily or read a great book. We're to be doers of these things by putting them into action. Children in the family are like arrows that we as moms and dads shoot into the future and into the culture. And those arrows are saturated with godly thinking and heavenly values. And they're on fire so that they ignite everything that it touches. Family, marriage, business, the economy, schools, churches, civil government, all of this needs to be set on fire with the life-giving principles of heaven. The truths that set men and women free in their marriages, set them free from the bondage of immorality and pornography and adultery, and set children free from the bondage of wrong thinking and horrible government systems like socialism and communism and authoritarian fascism and all of this kind of stuff, and set people free from idolatry and false religions into the liberty of the mandates of heaven that apply to us personally and in our marriages and families, in our churches, with our children in their schools, and to our leaders in civil government. The heavenization of earth is the task that you and I, as the family of faith, have been given. That is the picture in God's word, and it is beautiful. And it is the historical position of the family of faith for thousands of years. But we've gotten away from it. And so today I want to point out that the family, this primary instrument of God, has been hijacked and has been used more to build the kingdom of man and less to build the kingdom of God. In fact, we have given the enemy our greatest weapon, our children. And he has armed them and used them, our children, against us and against the cause of God, undermining biblical liberty and the foundation of this nation. How did we do that? Well, one of the primary ways that you and I have given the primary weapon of heaven, our children, over to the enemy is by sending them to government schools. Now, listen, I went to public school, and here I am, a man who recognizes the truths of God's word, and I am following God with the ability that he's given me and the faith that he's granted me. But I praise God that he rescued me from where I was headed if he hadn't done that. And 8 hours a day in an education facility is nothing less than comprehensive discipleship. And if we're sending our children over to Caesar, the government, we shouldn't be surprised if they come back to us Romans 12 years later after elementary and secondary school. And then if we send them off to secular, godless, progressive, woke, higher education in college, it should be not a surprise to us when they come back hating the very things that you and I love and being ashamed of the country that God has blessed and that has been founded on his word. We've been duped into thinking that government officials who do not have the fear of the Lord, who do not love Jesus and his word, are going to give our children a good education. In fact, that is a terrible lie from the pit of hell. And yet, many of us have been conned into doing that or been told that we don't really have any other options when we do. And I want to help you see some of those options. But I want to continue with the point here and say that one of the leaders of the greatest revival that has ever taken place in history, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr. of the Civil Rights Movement, but the German monk Martin Luther, who essentially launched the Reformation way, way back 500 years ago, when he challenged the big power church's decrees and began to assert that God's word, the mandates from heaven, say that you and I are rescued from our selfishness and sin and adopted into the family of God. How? By the vehicle of personal faith, not by virtue of a membership in a big church. That it's when we turn from our sin and turn to God that we are changed by God, we are supernaturally transformed by the message of the gospel, and our response of faith brings us into a friendship with our Creator. And Martin Luther said this about schools. He said, "I am afraid," and I quote, "that schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless," let me just stop right there. Do you ever feel like when you're dropping your kids off or grandkids off at a public school or maybe even a religious school, that you feel like you're dropping them off and they're walking through those gates like they're walking through the gates of a bad place, the gates of hell, because of the things that they're learning and the things that they're seeing, the immorality that's taking place in there, the things that are being talked about, the way that the things that you value are being undermined by their teachers, their science teachers or their history teachers or their social studies teachers, and they're being just... Their little minds are being perverted and twisted, and their hearts are being poisoned. And Martin Luther said that schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them on the hearts of our youth. If our schools do not hold up the Word of God and teach them and explain to them who God is, who made this world, why we are here, and where we're going, those schools will twist and poison the hearts and minds of our kids, and it will be a great, great curse.
Hey guys, it's Kirk here. Did you know that another option to traditional insurance even exists out there? I get that it may come as a surprise, since we're so conditioned to think traditional insurance is our only option, but that's simply not true. My family has been using Christian Healthcare Ministries over the last several years, and I cannot recommend them enough to other like-minded believers looking to do things differently than what we've been told to do. CHM is the faith-based alternative to insurance. And most importantly, with CHM, we know that our money is going to help other fellow Christians when they're in need. And this is how we like to steward our dollars when it comes to healthcare. Are you tired of your healthcare the same old way and want to do things the better way? I highly recommend you start by checking out CHM and see if this is an option that could work for your family's healthcare. It does for ours. It's not harder, but it's different in the best way. Learn more today by visiting chministries.org/Kirk Cameron. Again, that's chministries.org/Kirk Cameron.
And he said, every institution which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God will eventually become corrupt. In fact, if you don't increasingly emphasize the Word of God in your family, if I don't in my family, our family will deteriorate and degrade into a moral cesspool and a mess with wrong values, because we're going to be getting the values coming in from our phones, from our TVs, from our movies and music and everything else. We must be focused on the truth. Listen to what this theologian of the 19th century, A.A. Hodge, said. He said, I'm as sure as I am of the fact of Christ's reign, as sure as I am, as sure as you are, that Jesus is the Lord of the universe. He's sure of this, that a comprehensive, that means all-encompassing, centralized system of national education, that is a national department of education, that's what we have in this country. And it's comprehensive in that it teaches all subjects to all kids everywhere in the nation in the form of public schools, government schools, training camps, separated from religion, right? Haven't you heard separation of church and state? We got to get God out of schools. We got to get prayer out of schools. We got to get the Ten Commandments and the Bible out of schools. He said that this kind of a public education will prove the most appalling enginery for the furtherance of anti-Christian and atheistic beliefs. You hear that? If you create a school system, a national public school system, and you pull God out of it, and it's teaching them on social studies, history, math, science, English, religion, and everything else. And by the way, if they don't teach religion, they're actually still teaching religion. They're teaching that the correct position on God is that God does not exist. That's called humanism. That will prove to be the most appalling engine, the most appalling machine to further an anti-God, atheistic generation. and of anti-Christian, anti-social, nihilistic ethics which this sin-torn world has ever seen. I mean, you get the point. Education and the schooling of our kids is unbelievably important. I just made a documentary about the need for us to take back education. Along with the family problems we're having, of the family falling apart, moms and dads not staying together, kids growing up outside of marriage, and along with the educational problems we have, on top of that, we have nearly 1 million children being murdered in our country through abortion. Oh, Kirk, don't get too political. Hey, I'm not trying to get political. I'm a family guy. I'm a faith guy. I've got 6 children. My wife was an adopted child. She was 1 doctor appointment away from being aborted. She wasn't a mistake. She's a miracle. And she's my wife. Okay? She was made in the image of God. And she has the most beautiful heart and soul, saved by God. And she grew up and adopted and rescued 4 little children together with me, and they were 1 doctor appointment away from not existing as well. And if my wife hadn't been born, either would our 2 natural born children be here. And so I am appalled that we have legalized and normalized the murdering of nearly 1 million children a year in our country, and far more around the world. If you add to that the acceptance of a growing immorality, do you like what you're seeing that your kids are being taught in schools? Do you like what you're seeing in the movies and TV and in music, and the growing immorality, the things that 10 years ago were appalling are now normalized, celebrated, and defended? In fact, in some places, you're actually a criminal if you actually call out the truth about those things. What's going on? You think of the increased crime. You want to live in New York City right now? Do you want to live in Chicago right now? These places are frightening. We have a desperate, desperate need for revival. As our government continues to just grab more and more power and strip more and more responsibility and freedom away from you and me to be able to take care of our own health, to take care of educating our own children, to take care of our own businesses, to take care of our own churches, and making things that we know are healthy illegal. And the out-of-control spending of our government, but not only that, the out-of-control spending of our own households. Let me ask you, how much debt are you in? If you're in debt, don't complain about the government spending too much money and taxing us too much. They're spending money they don't have, right? They're spending money that belongs to our children and our grandchildren and taking it away from us. But we don't have a leg to stand on when we ourselves are overspending and running credit card debt through the roof. It's a problem in our entire country. What we see in the government, what we see in the culture, is the fruit. And the fruit is produced by the root, and the root is the family of faith in our homes. And the solution, that's good news though, because the solution means if we fix the root, it will cure the fruit. And that's why the American Campfire Revival is important to me, because you and I are acting at the grassroots level, at the family level, the building block of society. If we can have God revive us, then we can in turn rescue and transform the nation. What I want to say is that I am seeing people wake up. I am seeing and hearing the rumblings of revival. I feel it in my heart. I'm coming to God with renewed faith because I understand that He has accomplished the redemption that we need when He died on the cross, rose from the grave, and sent His spirits to live within our hearts. And now is the time for us to move forward, not in order to gain victory, but to move forward from victory. We just need to believe that, have faith, and do what God says. Revival is faith in action. It's not faith huddling in a corner, waiting for the rapture. Revival is faith in action, advancing the kingdom here on earth. And I'm so thankful to be standing shoulder to shoulder with you in that effort. Hey, I hope you'll check out our website at AmericanCampfireRevival.com. We've got all kinds of cool stuff there for you, all kinds of stuff to wear and things that will start conversations with others. And I hope you will continue to gather and pray with me every evening right here from my backyard, and that you will invite others to do the same, and that you will dive down deep into your own personal relationship with God and ask Him to go deeper into your faith and the development and maturing of your own morality, your own virtue, because those are the two indispensable supports for a nation like ours, of the people, for the people, by the people. We need to have a love for God and a love for one another. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the American Campfire Revival Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to learn more and join the movement, visit KirkCameron.com.